If you would like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to have two short readings. Our first reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 47 to 49. And our second will be from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, from verse 2 to 6. And we're going to look at the character of Judas Iscariot. That's the character of Judas Iscariot. So our first reading this evening, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, commencing at verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever shall I kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And now we'll read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 2 to 6. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 2 through to 6. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the presence of the multitude. And amen. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word. Now, I don't know whether you know what the word quisling means. You know, a quisling is defined in the Oxford English Dictionary as a person who's a traitor or someone who aids occupying enemy forces. Otherwise, a person who is a collaborator. And the word quisling originated from the treacherous role played by a man called Vincent Quisling. And Quisling was a famous traitor of World War II. He became Prime Minister of Norway after he encouraged the Nazis to invade in 1940. And he was responsible for a number of embezzlements and murders for the Germans. However, when Germany surrendered in 1945, he was executed for high treason. You know, I suppose the word Quisling is a far less infamous word to describe a traitor than the name of Judas. And the name of Judas, this is synonymous in our own society with being a traitor. And this evening I want us to consider one of the saddest stories of the Bible, the life of Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 chosen by Jesus. You know, as parents who don't believe we would give a child's name, the name of Judas. You know, you could only imagine the problems that child would have, you know, when they would be going to school or they'd be interacting with other people. There'd be some name calling, I'm sure. Instead, we give our children names such as Peter, James, John, or Andrew. See, the name Judas was often used in the Bible, and it was a popular name in ancient culture. And Jesus' own brother was called Judas. And we read about that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 55. But none stands out like the name of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed our Savior. See, this man who was given the highest privileges was guilty of the most terrible treachery. How he could have done what he did is beyond understanding. And many questions have been asked concerning this pathetic episode. But one is very evident, and it's very evident in the Scripture. And the complete story of Judas is summed up in the opening statement of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 4. And he went his way. See, Judas went his own way. Underneath all the facade was a man who was pretending to be a disciple. He had his own hidden motivations, which were focused on his own self-interests and his own inward desires. See, Judas turned against Jesus because he fell prey to Satan. He wasn't saved, and he found it hard to resist those subtle manipulations. See, we read in verse 3 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, Folks, there's a serious lesson for each one of us here this evening. See, Judas was one of the 12 disciples. He was a follower of Jesus. But he went to hell. Some people have the idea that Judas was saved and then suddenly he lost his salvation. That's not the case at all. Because Judas Iscariot was never saved. Outward he looked so fine, he had it all. See, Judas had all the right associations. Not only had he had the right associations, he had the right education. He was educated by the greatest man that walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this was totally useless because he didn't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't saved. See, folks, we can go out today and we can have all the right associations. We can have the right reputation. We can have the right education. We can be involved in the right participation. But unless you're born again and become a child of God, you're rejecting Christ in the same manner as Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's no question about it. Christ did choose Judas as an apostle. And we're told about that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13 through to 19. And Jesus ordained 12. And they should be with him that he might send them forth to preach. Simon, James, and all the rest, and Judas Iscariot. See, the foreknowledge of God doesn't alter the responsibility of man. It was Judas who went seeking to make those sordid deals with the chief priests to betray Jesus. See, his betrayal of Jesus was the worst thing Judas could do. And Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 21, underlines the enormity of this crime when he said, "The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." See, for someone to betray Jesus, it would be better that they weren't born. See, Judas thought he could have one foot in heaven and one foot in the world. However, the world and Satan caught a hold of Judas and his life became warped. He became out of touch with reality. Every sordid deed he did took him down another line and sin started to overwhelm his life. And that can be the same here tonight. If you haven't acknowledged your sin and repented of your sin, sin can overwhelm your life. And we read those words again. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. See, as Judas kissed the Savior with a kiss of betrayal, you do the exact same thing if you reject the grace of God. Now, these may sound strong words, but if you reject the grace of God, you face damnation. And I want us to consider a number of things about Judas' character this evening. Firstly, his weakness. His weakness. Why did Judas do this? Because Satan got a hold of his life. Satan got through the door of his life and went on a rampage. See, Judas let him in. Judas was not a saved man. How sad to think that Judas, who had seen people raised from the dead, he had seen souls saved, he had seen sick people healed, would totally disregard the privileges bestowed upon him by our beautiful Lord Jesus Christ and instead opt for the world. And dear friends, that is what's happening today. People hear the gospel, but they opt for the world instead. See, his weakness as a person was sin, as are every one of our weaknesses. It's sin. But the sin that stands out, that particular sin for Judas was covetousness. He was guilty of greed. His love was for money. And he would have done everything for money. And that brought him shame and it brought him sorrow. And it appears that that money had eaten into his soul. And he was prepared to do anything for cash. Just like the alcoholic or the drug addict. The alcoholic or the drug addict are manipulative and persuasive people. Everything is conditional to a drink or drugs. And dear friend, I say that out of knowledge. I stand before you. I've had a drink problem myself. And gloriously, the Lord Jesus Christ took that away from me 20 years ago. And we can be persuasive and manipulative people when we're under the influence of drink. See, Judas' soul wasn't yearning for those that were dying in their sin, or those yearning for the extension of God's kingdom, or the ultimate glory of God. No, his focus was on financial security rather than eternal salvation. And we see the proof of his weakness when we read in John chapter 12. On this occasion, Mary had broken open an alabaster box of ointment, anointing the feet of Jesus and wiping them with her hair. And this was a very, very expensive gesture, and lavishly pouring out of love. It was that significant. And Judas resented what had happened. See, Judas' only concern was the question why the ointment hadn't been sold to the poor. But when we read John chapter 12 and verse 5, it says this: he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was but therein. See, Judas had deeper and darker motives, because he was the treasurer of the band of the disciples. He apparently wasn't above helping himself. Not only was Judas a liar, a hypocrite, a lover of money, he was a thief. But he was no different from the rest of us, because he was a sinner. Friends, sin takes a hold of our lives, and it takes us on a downward journey. When we get caught up in sin, everything ends in disaster. Now, sin can be wonderful at times, and it can maybe take us to wonderful places for a very short period of time. But dear friend, let me warn you, it will end in disaster. See, Judas was in the clutches of sin, and it was being fed by the love of money. And money can be used for good things, and I'm not knocking anybody who has money. But for Judas, because of money, because of that particular sin, he overstepped the line. Because of his sin, he overstepped the line. He had everything in his life, but his motives were conditional to money. There was a price on everything he did. Jesus, who loved them and who called them to be his disciple, had just become a money-making scheme. So much so that he set a price that he thought he could sell the Savior's life for. And we could question whether the greed could really have been his motive, because 30 pieces of silver were nothing in these times. You could have bought a slave for 30 pieces of silver. Nevertheless, we need to remember that Judas was a greedy man, and any amount of money would do. He was willing to do anything to get it. Friends, sin can take us to awful places, and in our minds, we will try and justify our actions. But dear friends, sin propels people every second of this day into hell. Do you know, in Amos chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, we are told that the righteous are sold for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. To his bitter regret, Judas discovered the truth of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And it reads, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, others left everything to follow Jesus. And it's evident Judas hadn't. Others had sacrificed to serve, but Judas used his calling to line his own pockets with the gifts that others had given. You know, his weaknesses overpowered him, and it held him in a vice-like grip. His sin held him in a vice-like grip from which he couldn't break free. And it drove him to make the biggest mistake of his life. Folks, is there some sort of sin holding you tonight? Is there some sin that has got you in its grip that you just don't want to make that step and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You know, I suppose I could start to name off a list of vices, the different vices that we have. But as you sit there, I want you to reflect on maybe some of those vices. And if you're reflecting on those vices, and maybe those vices are starting to annoy you, the Holy Spirit just might be starting to speak to you, might be convicting you of those vices, convicting you of your sin. See, if you're saved, here tonight, and you're messing around with those vices, dear friend, return to Christ and repent of those sins. See, if you remain tied to your sin, you're making the biggest mistake of your life, and it's going to end up destroying you. Just as it did Judas. Remember what sin is. Sin is the simplest lie. The simplest of lies. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now the second point that needs to be considered about Judas' character is his warnings. See, the weakness of Judas was the thing that destroyed him. But he had been warned repeatedly. Jesus spoke to him about it, but he wouldn't listen. And it's not just like us. We come to the gospel meeting every Sunday night, and we listen to the gospel being preached, and we listen to being told that we need to be saved and we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we just don't listen. See, repeatedly Jesus spoke to him about it, but he wouldn't listen. Stubbornly, Jesus continued at breakneck speed on his dangerous path to destruction. See, he was present when Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." See, he heard Jesus also say, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, in his words to others, Jesus often warned Judas of the dangers he faced. However, Judas was unaffected by these indirect warnings. Indirect warnings were followed by words that couldn't be mistaken. In John chapter 13 and verse 21, Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me." See, no one suspected Judas, but Judas knew Jesus was talking about him. Judas knew what he was going to do, and Judas knew Jesus knew also. Jesus was giving Judas the opportunity to repent of your sin. And dear friend, you have an opportunity tonight. An opportunity tonight if you remain in your sin to repent. But see, Judas couldn't take that opportunity. Judas wouldn't take that opportunity. Dear friend, no man is without warning when you've heard the gospel. And Judas wasn't without warning. See, people continually hear the warning. And as I've said before, you're maybe coming to the gospel meeting every week. And you hear that you need to be saved, but you're not listening. You don't appreciate the circumstances you faced. See, without Christ, you're like a condemned criminal. You're sentenced by the law and delivered into the hands of the executioner. Do you realize that? If you're without Christ, you're on death row this evening. You're standing on death row. At the present moment in time, there's a television program being broadcast, and it's called Life and Death Row. And it tells the story of young people in prison awaiting execution. And they live day by day in hope of a stay of that execution. Friends, you may have the most idyllic life. You may have little problems in your life. You may be a faithful churchgoer. You may be here every Sunday. You may have integrity. It may be without question. You may be the most plausible person, the most easygoing person on this planet. The very way you live your life, people might point you out and say, "He could be a Christian." But if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you're on death row. And I'm not sensationalizing this in any way. See, if you're not saved, you're on death row. You may have some sort of physical freedom, but you're on death row because you're shackled to sin. And sad to say, that sin is going to take you to hell. However, in the depths of our rebellion, and in our rejection of Christ, God remains faithful to each one of us. As long as you have a breath in your body, God has left the door open. God has left an invitation for you tonight. An invitation for you to come to Him. See, remember, God loves you. God loves you. I ask the question, do you believe that? Do you believe that God loves you here tonight? Have you let that precious truth pierce your heart? See, God loves you. But God doesn't love your sin. He doesn't love your sin. The God of eternity, the creator God of this world, loves you. He loves you. See, God loves you so much that He gave His Son for you. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 says, "God spared not His Son for us all." I tell you, our salvation is free because Christ died for our sins on the cross. But it wasn't cheap. God gave up his son because he wanted to. He gave up his son for sinful man. See, we are undeserving and ill-deserving of this. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you're saying to me, sure, I've got plenty of time. Sure, I have time to go out and enjoy the world. I have all sorts of things to do. Sure, when that day comes, I'll have a minute or two to get it all sorted out with God. But dear friend, I remember a friend in my days in the police. And he was driving a Land Rover when it was hit by a rocket. And he fell across the passenger onto his knee, mortally wounded. And the only thing he could say was, I've been hit. That's all he could say, and he died. At that moment, he didn't have a chance or an opportunity to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and admit that he was a sinner and turn away from his sin or put his trust and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just didn't get that time. But you know, the glorious thing was, that young man was a Christian. That young man was a Christian. And it was a tragic situation for his own family. But they had the assurance that he had gone to be with the Lord. See, he was absent from the body and present with the Lord. See, if this young man hadn't been saved, he would have been lost. Are you certain of your salvation tonight? Because you mightn't get another chance. Are you certain of your salvation tonight? See, dear friend, we have been warned again. Following his warnings to Judas, we come to consider his wickedness. See, Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, and he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. See, this was the lowest act to which depraved humanity can descend. No man can do worse than Judas did. Jesus said that no one who betrayed him would be better off. They'd be better off dead. And those are strong words. One never goes wholesale into sin. We do it in installments, as Judas did. And it's been said, thought leads to act. Act leads to habit. Habit leads to character. And character leads to destiny. And James illustrates this pattern when he tells us in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." As I said previously, Satan entered Judas. His greed made him listen to Satan, and ultimately, this led to him becoming under the influence of Satan. See, Judas wasn't without power to resist. He could have said no, but he didn't. Satan took control of what Judas gave him. It wasn't at once, but it was a wee bit at a time. And that's the way our lives go. That's the way sin gets into our lives. It's a bit of a time, a bit at a time, and then our lives are ruined. See, Judas couldn't blame his wickedness because of his surroundings. See, no one could blame. Judas couldn't blame them because of his surroundings. No one had better surroundings than he did. He had the company of the best people in the world. He heard and he saw wonderful things. He was privileged to see and hear them. He received instructions, as I've said before, from the greatest teacher in the world. He lived daily in the company of men who were chosen by Christ. However, these privileges did nothing to lift him out of the depths and depravity of his own life. And that's the way sin controls your life. It can be subtle, and you think you're a good person. You start to measure your life up to somebody else. You look at the people around you. You think that you're not as bad maybe as some other person. And maybe you think that another person who has led a notorious life, well, they needed to be saved. But you're living a good life and you don't really need to be saved. You're okay. Friend, if you think like that, your life is going to be ruined. You're going to end up in hell. Because you're a sinner too. Unless you have dealt with your sin, unless you have come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you remain a sinner. See, don't look at the people around you. Look at your own life. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you're saved by grace. By grace are you saved. Because God is gracious. Sinful man is forgiven. converted, purified, and saved. It's not because anything within us that we're saved, but because of the boundless love, goodness, pity, compassion, mercy, and grace of God. That's why we're saved. Even when Jesus was betrayed with a false kiss of friendship, which was really just like an assassin's bullet, what was Jesus' response? And Jesus said unto him, that's unto Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? See, amazingly, Jesus addresses Judas as a friend, even though he's going to betray him. He tells him to do what he has to do. See, the Lord at the end of the day is in control. See, Judas was a cowardly and covetous act. For 30 pieces of silver, he sold our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we ought to think of that transaction in a different way. Instead of selling Christ, he sold himself. You sell yourself tonight. See, Judas' planning and preparation for his betrayal of Jesus may have been exciting. You can just see that when he got the money for betraying Jesus. See, he may have deceived the disciples, and he may have deceived, or he thought he had deceived Jesus, as he struck that deal with the chief priests and totted up his accounts. There may have been a momentary fleeting pleasures, as sin brings. But at the end of the day, they were going to bring pain and sorrow. See, he spent that money and he went away and he bought a farm. And you can just think of that excitement of something new. That excitement of something new that he had. But that excitement soon wore off. And Jesus had warned him of his destiny. But an unbelieving soul would take no heed of that. See, he had gone his own way. And these were just mere words to Judas. He had earthly security on his own mind, and he felt that he had made it. And that he had nothing to be concerned about. The fourth and the last thing which requires our consideration about Judas' character has to do with his end. See, Numbers 32 and verse 33 says, be sure your sin will find you out. See, Judas probably started well, but he wasn't saved. So he was a slave to sin. He had rejected Christ for what he thought was an easier way. Isn't that what we do? We put things off and we maybe put the world first before we put Christ first. But all sin is treachery at the end of the day. In deep remorse, Judas went to his farm, which he had bought with the reward that he had got. With that reward, with that iniquity. But what did he do? He went and he hung himself. He couldn't live with himself. And when they talk about the reward of iniquity, it simply means his ill-gotten gains. See, Judas purchased a farm with stolen money. And his lifeless body, which was hanging on a tree, swole up and it gathered weight and it broke the tree and it just fell to the ground. And scripture says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 18, and burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. See, Judas wasn't sorry for what he did. See, he never repented. Peter failed Jesus denying 3 times that he knew him. However, Peter repented. Judas never repented. When men repent, they are forgiven. And repent basically means turning away from your sin. Turning totally away from it. Walking away from it. Turning your back on it. And you may say to me, but that's difficult. But believe me, if you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're walking with him, he will help you do that. See, Judas never turned to God in faith. He turned away from Christ in sorrow. He ended his miserable existence in an act of despair and unbelief. You know, tonight we've reflected on Judas' life. We've considered his weaknesses, his warnings, his wickedness and his end. And Judas walked away from the Lord and he went on his own way. And you know what? He kissed our beautiful Savior. That's how close he got to Jesus. We can talk about Jesus. We can say wonderful things about Jesus. But unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus, it means nothing. See, Judas stands as a stern warning, a stern reminder that no one can be close to Jesus without accepting or receiving him as their own and personal Savior. And you might say to me, I'm no Judas. Friend, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you might as well be standing with Judas. See, you're rejecting Christ. And if you're rejecting Christ, you're rejecting God's grace. And Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. Look, God spared not his son so that you might be saved from hell and saved for heaven. God in his love placed his sinless son in the hands of angry sinners to save you. He died for your sins on the cross and shed his precious blood to cleanse you from your sin. See, Christ has done the work. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. And John 3:3 says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. See, you must come to Jesus Christ by faith, confessing and repenting of your sin, and call to him for salvation. See, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, you've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to ask him to forgive you of your sins. You've got to repent of your sins, and you've got to turn away from your sins, and you've got to put your faith and your trust in him. And you can do it where you're sitting here tonight. If you haven't accepted Christ as Savior, you can do it sitting right here tonight. You don't have to go to anybody and tell anybody. But if you do it, go and tell somebody. Maybe tell somebody in here. See, I'm asking you tonight. I'm telling you tonight. Don't walk in the footsteps of Judas. Come to Jesus while there's time. Come now. Don't leave it any longer. May God bless this word.